Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. It is a way back rap Wednesday, old school hip hop hump day. It is actually one of my favorite days of the week. Great job with the intro music here. Ooh, Ghetto Boys. Mm-hmm. Damn, it feels good to be a gangster. All-time classic. Very underrated hip-hop song, for, at least for the discography of the Ghetto Boys. You never hear people bring this up when they start talking about Ghetto Boys or Scarface, but it's an all-time great.
It is.
Fantastic.
And shout-out to Jimmy Green.
Jimmy Green?
Mm-hmm.
Are we giving a shout out to Jimmy Green?
He's the guy who uploaded a clean version of this song to YouTube. So thanks, Jimmy.
Yeah.
For allowing us to play this on the show.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Did Damn It Feels Good to Be a Gangster, was that also in Office Space?
Yes.
Yeah. Because I only played a couple of Ghetto Boy songs in Office Space.
Dude, the soundtrack for that movie.
Oh, it's so good, isn't it?
So damn good.
The timing of it, when they played the songs and for what scenes they decided to select those songs, it is just, it's masterful.
Yeah.
It is just comedic mastery. It's
and
great.
Then, what, the opening scene, the guy singing
oh,
No Tears
yes.
while he's stuck in traffic, talking about killing people while he's...
I keep my pistol point cocked.
Yeah, while he's getting... driven by an old lady in her wheelchair.
Wow.
Motorized wheelchair.
He turns it down.
Yeah.
Ashamed of himself yeah. in traffic. Also, filmed in Austin, right?
Was yes.
it also filmed in Austin?
I believe so.
Double shout out there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Old school hip hop hump day, way back rap Wednesday. You can also watch the Triple Option with RBKD. All you got to do is go to hornfm.com and you can tap into the Twitch stream. That should be a link there. And then you can watch the Triple Option with RBKD. You also can hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babison, the Twitterverse. BK, the real MVP, is at Brad Keltner. Kevin Dunn, much deserved vacation, even though BK disagrees. But you can cyber stalk him at Kevin Dunn 01. Okay, let's talk about Paul Feinbaum. We don't bring up Paul Feinbaum a lot on this show.
With reason.
Are you not a fan, I'm assuming?
No, I'm a Texas fan.
Okay, what does that mean? Is he anti-Texas?
He's pretty anti-Texas.
Are we sure he's anti-Texas, or is he just pro-everything SEC?
Yes.
And it makes his, because he's pro SEC, it makes him seem that he's anti-everything else.
Well, you know my stance on the SEC, right? It's very similar to Elon Musk.
I want to be clear. I do not respect the SEC. I do not respect them.
That's where I'm at with the SEC.
He's talking about something a little
no,
bit different.
He's talking about the Southeastern Conference,
Securities
I'm pretty sure.
Securities and Exchange Commission,
no way,
I believe.
Dude, I've never heard of that. Not a real thing. Elon Musk is on the opposite end of the spectrum as Paul Feinbaum, and I'm way closer to Elon than I
that's
am
That's a great
Paul.
Drop. That's a great drop. You take it out of context, but good for you.
Thank you.
You're going to use it a lot.
Yes.
I like that. Especially since he's now a Central Texan. Like
one
all
of our
us,
own. So yeah, he's a Big 12 guy. He can't
big,
be an SEC
true.
Guy. He lives in Austin.
And before that, he's a Pac-12 guy. So maybe you're right. Maybe
yeah.
he does hate the SEC.
Is he going to spearhead the Texas to the Pac-12 movement?
Oh, man.
Wow.
That will be a game changer, BK. You get Elon Musk on the bandwagon, get Texas to the Pac-12, or at least to get them to, maybe they should just join forces. I think that's a better idea than the Big 12. Then basically the Big 12 poaching their teams or the Pac-12 poaching Big 12 teams. I think they should just join forces and then eliminate the football brands that don't matter as much.
Sorry about that, Baylor.
Baylor? Oh, that's right.
Baylor's getting axed out of that deal.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who was it? Was it Ann Richards, who was a Baylor fan or alum back in the day, that gave Baylor a lot of power?
Was
political clout back in the day?
I think it was David Koresh. That's who you're thinking of.
No, Ann Richards was a big Baylor Bear supporter, I thought. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
I don't know who that is, dude.
You know who Ann Richards is.
Okay.
Okay. You know what? Since we both may be wrong, then I'll look it up later, but I won't get into that. Yes. Anyway, let's talk about Paul Feinbaum, because Paul Feinbaum, he recently made some comments, and I don't know which one of these I want to start with. You know what? I'll start with the comments that he makes, takes a direct shot, I believe, at Steve Sarkisian. I don't know if it's a shot, but at least he made remarks about Steve Sarkisian. But he was comparing Steve Sarkisian and Jimbo Fisher. He said these comments on ESPN. He said, quote, or I take it back, he was on WJOX radio. And he said, Jimbo Fisher is a legitimate big-time coach. He's already proven it. He's proving it now. He's recruiting at a level that I don't think is that I think is necessary. And he also doesn't have the distractions and interferences that Sarkisian is going to have in terms of the alumni. He went on to say, the alumni at Texas are always the problem in Austin. I mean, it's one of the great places in the world to work. It's one of the great places to live and visit. But they have still not solved that. And maybe I spend too much time on Sunday mornings in Connecticut hanging out with Mac Brown, but you have to deal with way too many entities and a fan base that just can't quite get over itself. Mm. He went on to say for all of those reasons, he would side more. He's more confident in Jimbo Fisher having success long term at A&M rather than Steve Sarkisian.
Well, that feels like the safer bet right now, doesn't it?
So, yeah, that's, well,
I mean, considering Jimbo's already been there for 3 years and A&M just missed the college football playoff, like, you could make a strong case for Sark being the better long-term option than Jimbo Fisher. Like, you could make that prediction, but I don't think Paul Feinbaum's going out on a limb by saying that. I don't think that's a hot take. I think right now that's almost the answer you have to pick, right? Which guy's the safer bet? The guy who is walking into a situation that has spit out coaches three times in the last decade, or a guy who is coming off his best year and has things rolling at his spot.
And has already won, he's a national championship winning coach already.
Yeah,
he's already done that. He's been to the mountaintop.
He's got a more loaded resume, too. Yeah. So, yeah, as a Texas fan, Jimbo Fisher, for the short-term future, feels like a safer bet than Steve Sarkisian. But all the other stuff Paul Feinbaum said, I've got an issue with.
About the alumni? And
yeah. I mean, we so over-criticize the boosters. Like, people don't take the time to realize how important big money donors are for the University of Texas. They're the reason everything happens. And all I hear is they're too involved. They meddle too much in the day-to-day operations. They're controlling everything in the athletic department, and that's not good. Dude, when you're winning, those guys are so on your side, they give you everything you want. And Mac Brown knows that, too. Now, at the end of his Texas tenure, I'm sure the boosters were turning against him because he wasn't winning games. But he knows that when you're having success as a head coach at the University of Texas, you're getting more support and more resources than any other coach in the country. Those guys are important. Those are the guys that give Texas the most valuable athletic department in the country. Those are the guys that allow Texas to upgrade the stadiums and facilities all the time. Those guys pay for everything. Like, you need those guys on your side, and it's Paul Feinbaum, and it's so many people who just say, oh, they're the problem. They're the huge problem. No, no, no. The problem is the coaching. The problem is the coaching is not good enough. The thing that makes Texas great and the thing that makes Texas potentially the best job in all of college football is the alumni, is the supporters that Texas has that other schools don't have access to. So it's such a tired take, Rod. I'm just so tired of hearing it. Like, every time a coach struggles, it's the booster's fault. Oh, it's not working because the alumni is too involved. No, it's not working because the coach is not doing his job. That's why it's not working. Don't criticize alumni and boosters for problems that are caused by other people.
No, I agree with you, but I will say that the boosters and the donors, they are most effectively harmonized, I guess is the word I'm looking for, when they have someone like Mac Brown who understands that you got to get all the BBs in a box, right? That you do have to pay attention to the boosters and the donors. You can't just say, I'm going to win games and ignore the boosters and the donors, because that doesn't work either. I mean, Makovic won a conference championship. He hated Makovic. Why'd they hate Makovic so much? Even though he won championships, because he thought, all I got to do is win games. I don't have to worry about getting the BBs back in the box. I don't have to worry about catering to the boosters and the donors. I don't have to worry about that. Actually, you do.
You don't think so?
And Tom Herman, ultimately, even after he had gained support through 2018 and had a 10-win season, we know now that Tom Herman was basically an a-hole behind the scenes, not only to the boosters and donors, but to the media, to his own team. And by the end, he was isolated and alone. He didn't have any supporters. Mac Brown understood, all right, yeah, I'm going to win games. But the reason that Mac, I think, even survived as long as he did without beating Oklahoma and even got the chance to reinvent himself was because of the credibility he had built up, not necessarily with the fans. Yes, the fans loved him, but it was with the boosters and the donors. Remember, fans at one time wanted to get rid of him, and boosters and the donors said, no, reinvent yourself, Mac. Hire new coaches. Mm-hmm. Do your thing. Because Mac was bringing him to practice. I can tell you how many practices Mac was hanging out with the boosters and the donors at practice. Introducing them, by the way, introducing them to the players after everybody was done with practice. Hey, Rod, come over here. Yeah, I need you to meet this guy. Really successful. Really good guy. He reminds me of you. Great personality. I mean, he understood how to make those connections. So all those boosters and donors, all those times he brought him out to practice and hung out with him. I have no idea what they were doing after and before practice. But trust me, the boosters and the donors, they appreciated it.
Yeah.
They appreciate it very much. So, yes, you do have to win. No question. That goes without saying. That's at every major university. But in order to avoid, you know, what happened to Tom Herman, because I think if Tom Herman had built more alliances, he'd still be here.
Right. Yeah, your leash is shortened if you don't do the extra stuff.
And Charlie Strong didn't do it at all. We know that, too. Mm-hmm. And we can't lose to Kansas. So the Charlie Strong conversation is moot. But
Right.
So you get my point. I agree with you 100%. But you still do have to put in that time with the boosters and donors. But you are right. Ultimately, you cannot complain about, oh, man, the boosters and the donors are too hands-on. They're way too involved. And then also you want, on the other end of that take, you want to say that, oh, Texas has the greatest alumni base and the greatest alumni boosters and donors in all of college football because they have the greatest revenue source in all of college football and all of college sports. Well, that's because of the boosters and the donors. You got to decide which way you want it.
Yeah, you can't.
Most people, you can. Listen, my girlfriend's awesome. All right, sorry, my fiance. Got to get that.
Come
on now. A long time.
Come on, man.
In trouble. But either way, she's fantastic, all right? And she does a lot for me, probably way too much than she needs to do for me. But she also wants to know where I am. So she'll call, she'll text. Hey, what's going on, babe? Where are you? Boom. She wants to know. I gotta, oh, babe, I'm here, man. I'm running some errands. Oh, I'm going to have a drink with my guy friends. I'm hanging out, whatever it is.
Sure.
But that's part of it, right? If she's gonna do a lot for me, which she does, she also wants to know what's going on. Are we having dinner tonight? What's going on? Like, there's some things that she wants to be able to check off the list because of what she's providing.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the boosters and the donors. They're giving you a lot of money every now and then. They want to feel involved. They want to be able to call the head coach and get a call back.
For sure.
They want to be able to text the head coach and go, hey, coach, what was up with that fourth down call? And have coach hit him back and go, man, that was a bad call on my part, coach. Dang coaching mistake. Mm. I know it sounds crazy, but there were times with Tom Herman, he wouldn't return that text.
Ignored that call.
He ignored that text.
Mm-hmm.
CDC, his own athletic director, threw him under the bus.
Yeah.
Well, how often do you get your own athletic director and, by the way, other coaches on the campus who have been here for years, like Eddie Reese, throwing you under the bus? When's the last time we got a fellow coach at Texas to throw the head football coach under the bus like they did during the Eyes of Texas?
I don't think it's ever happened.
It's never happened before.
Yeah.
You got to build alliances, and I think that's the one lesson you have that Sark, I'm sure, has learned. You got to build alliances, and boosters and donors are a big part of that, man. So that's why the job is hard, too, because they want their time. Your wife wants her time. They want their time. The kids want their time. The CDC wants his time. Everybody wants a piece of your time. It's only 24 hours in a day.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be Kobe. You want the Mamba mentality because, you got to get – that means you got to get up at 3 in the morning.
Yeah. Go to bed at 2:30.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah, you get my point?
Two counterpoints, not to you, more to Paul Feinbaum's commentary. I hate that people act like Texas is the only job in the country that has that. Now, there's more of it at Texas than anywhere else in the country.
Mm-hmm.
But my goodness, you're crazy if you don't think that stuff happens at Alabama or Ohio State or Georgia or Florida or Clemson. That stuff goes on. Stuff absolutely goes on. If for some reason, it's only Texas that gets the bad rap. Well, Texas is getting the bad rap because their coaches aren't doing a good job.
Exactly.
Number two.
Exactly.
Uh-oh. What was my number two?
Deuce Man.
No, not Deuce Gate. We're not talking about Deuce Gate again. Not the dog that took a crap in our studio.
I was thinking about number twos, and you said number two.
Oh, boy, that got me even more sidetracked.
Yeah, sorry. My fault.
No, it's all me. I should have this figured out.
But can I?
Go ahead. I'll think of it.
I'll say this, though, because I think you're around the money there. At those Clemsons, those Ohio States, those Bamas, those coaches are in a better position where they can lay down the law, draw a line in the sand. if Nick Saban, greatest college football coach of all time, says, you know what, I don't want to do that donor booster event today. He's good.
Yeah, but at the start, you think, well, maybe different because Nick Saban had won a national title at LSU.
It's all about the clout and how much clout and credibility you've built up. You know, a lot of people here in Texas haven't built up that clout, so when they try to big time a booster and a donor, it becomes big time. And that booster and a donor, he's offended, he feels violated, then he's on the raw path. And from then on, instead of gaining a supporter, you've gained an enemy. And that enemy is on the 40 acres. Mm-hmm. That enemy's behind the burnt orange curtain with you, and now he's out to destroy you.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to Tom Herman, slowly but surely.
Yeah.
Remember, it's OG Stevie P, same thing. So many people started to hate Steve Patterson, the hatchet man after that. It's like, man, he's done. He's on his way out anyway.
Going to Chip Brown, tell him how much they write this about this guy.
Exactly. And the same thing happened. What happened? I believe 24/7, almost 24/7, they're the ones who reported that, oh, yeah, the other coaches, they got the email and the memo, but apparently Tom Herman, he went rogue and didn't do it. You know somebody leaked that story from behind the burnt orange curtain. We just don't know who, but it's because the alliances hadn't been formed and they weren't strong enough. Now I do hear, though, that the BBs are close to being back in a box like they were in Mack Brown and DeLoss Dodds and, you know, Rick Barnes and, of course, Augie Garrido and Chris Ponsky, can give props to her as well. When they all, you know, they all had it, this very, very this synchronicity, synergy working between them. I think they're getting close to that again.
You kind of gave me a good unintentional segue a couple of minutes ago talking about Nick Saban. Like, if Steve Sarkisian has a decade similar to what Nick Saban just had at Alabama.
Oh, God.
Or if Steve Sarkisian has a decade similar to what DKR had from like 61 to 70.
Build a statue.
Then, build a statue, number one. Then you can also get away with not dealing with the boosters and the donors because they're going to be happy. They've got a winning team. They're still going to be donating money.
It's all
good. We're winning games. I don't need to be that involved. Yeah, some of them will still be like, hey, I want that phone call back. But you'll have enough of them that are like, dude, I'm not getting in the way of this.
Yep.
We're rolling right now. So that, to me, those guys can be on your side.
Yep.
If you just do your job as a head coach, those guys will be on your side. And, yeah, you don't have to spend as much time catering to the big money donors and the alumni. But like you said, very eloquently, with Tom Herman and Charlie Strong, when you're not winning games and you haven't built up that credo with the people behind the scenes,
they're coming for you.
They're coming for you.
Pitchforks and all.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Mac was so brilliant, right? Mac had, for those 10 years, he won games, but also was hanging out with the boosters, schmoozing, kissing babies. He had built up credibility with the fans. He had built up credibility with the boosters and the donors, with all the alumni, everybody. So when Mac had his first precipitous fall from grace in 2010, everybody went, nah, let him get another chance. Mm-hmm. He'll figure it out.
Yeah,
and that's what you want. You want to have enough credibility, like you said, built up, that when the fit hits the shan, which it will, because it does for every coach, when it does, that they'll support you and they'll believe that that's an outlier and that that doesn't necessarily indict you as a coach.
Did you say shaking hands and kissing babies? I thought it was the other way around. Is it not shaking babies and kissing hands?
You might be, man. It depends. Are you right? You could
shaking
be kissing
babies.
Hands.
Oh, man. All right, we'll save the
you want to save the other one?
Yeah, we'll save the other one for 5 o'clock.
Okay.
Because Paul Feinbaum also had some interesting comments about Oklahoma.
Yeah, man.
Which I think are very pertinent.
He's not the only one saying that about Oklahoma either. He's not. I've heard many people say something similar about Oklahoma this year specifically.
Yeah. I don't like agreeing with Paul Feinbaum, but I think I agree with Paul Feinbaum.
He might be on something.
So we'll talk about that at 5. But before we go to break, I got to tell the people about audiovisual consultations. We're talking college football. Can't wait. We are 108 days away from the first major college football Saturday. That means you've got 108 days to get your TV setup done with audiovisual consultations. They are the absolute best in the business. They're the company that hooked me up with the 4 TV setup that I have. I absolutely love it. I was using it last night watching playoff hockey, playoff basketball, and some baseball. There's never a bad time to have an awesome TV setup in the comfort of your own home. AV Consultations can hook you up. Best in the business. And they've been in business here in Central Texas for more than 3 decades. So whether it's a bunch of screens on one wall like I have, you just want a big screen with surround sound for your living room, maybe something for your patio, your backyard. It's going to stop raining eventually here, I swear. AV Consultations can make it happen indoors or outdoors. No project too big, no project too small. Just give them a call. 512-255-8678. That's 512-255-8678. Or check them out online. It's AV Consultations. SEC.com. All right, we'll get back into some Longhorn football conversation. But when we return, we'll talk a little NBA playoffs. We had the Eastern Conference play-in games last night. The Western Conference play-in games coming up tonight. We'll preview Spurs, Grizzlies, and also talk about Lakers and Warriors. Oh, yeah, LeBron versus Steph. Buckle up. It's next.
Yeah, this one right here goes out to all the babies, mamas, mamas. Mamas, mamas. Baby mamas, mamas.
It's a lot of mamas. A lot of baby mamas getting a shout out. Andre 3K there. Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. Alongside the All-American Rod Babers, I am BK Brad Kellner. No KD today, no KD this week. He is out on vacation. He'll be back with us on Monday. Keep it locked in. During the 5 o'clock hour, we'll be giving away a pair of tickets for Rangers-Astros.
Right.
The battle for the silver boot hits the Gylf for the first time in 2021. We've got a pair of tickets for Saturday's game. We'll give them away at some point during the 5 o'clock hour. So don't touch that dial. If you still use a dial, just don't stop listening to the show. It's probably a better way to say it.
There's some dials in some cars, aren't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have a dial in your car?
I think I still have it. Yeah, I got a dial. I still have the push button, too, but I still have a little tiny dial.
Okay. Well, I've got the dial for the volume, but I've got the seek buttons for the...
That's what I do, too. Yeah, I got a dial for the volume, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if that
still
counts.
Still a dial.
Yeah, I guess don't touch that dial. Well, touch that dial and turn it up a little bit. Don't turn it down.
Turn it up in my headphones, Jeff.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's exactly what we're looking for. So, once again, keep it locked in, and we'll get back into some Texas football conversation, too, within the next half hour. Want to talk NBA playoffs, Rod B. Last night, we had the two Eastern Conference play-in games.
Man, they were ugly.
Neither was that much fun to watch.
Two blowouts.
Yeah, the early one was over from the jump.
Yeah.
Indiana absolutely demolishing Charlotte, 144-117, the final score. It wasn't even that close. The Pacers just couldn't miss. And, yeah, this was a 16-point game after the first quarter, and the Pacers, even without lifetime Longhorn Miles Turner, never looked back. So Indiana stays alive. Charlotte is going home. And the latter half of the TNT doubleheader was the game that we expected to be a lot of fun and very entertaining. And for a while it was, but Boston, a strong fourth quarter led by Jason Tatum's
50-point burger.
Yeah. 50 burger last night for Jason Tatum.
50 burger.
That was ridiculous.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Washington.
32 in the second half.
I'm telling you. Washington didn't play all that bad, but they just didn't have Jason Tatum last night.
And Westbrook wasn't. He wasn't extraordinary, you know. I mean, he was just great.
Yeah.
Usually, and I hate to say it like that, but he wasn't. And they needed him to be. They needed him to match Jason Tatum, and he wasn't going to do that.
Is playoff Westbrook a thing?
What is that, bad or good?
Well, it can't be good. He's never won a title.
So it's bad. So he takes a regression?
Like
playoff Westbrook?
Yeah.
I got to go look at the numbers.
Well, we have
the
playoff P for Paul George.
That playoff P. James Harden was dealing with that. Oh, I guess he still is.
Still is, right.
But that was the knock on James Harden, was that he was just deteriorating late in the playoffs.
Very rarely when you get a playoff moniker.
Is it good?
Is it good? Like every once in a while, you've got Reggie Jackson, Mr. October.
Mr. October.
Like, every once in a while, you could be just that good in the postseason to where
I'm sure Julian Edelman's got something like that.
He should.
When he did, all his damage was in the playoffs.
He's just got Jewish guy who's good at football. I think that's
money time.
Yeah. That's what it should be. But Russell Westbrook, 6 of 18 from the floor. Bradley Beal, 10 of 25. Those guys want to combine 1 for 10 from downtown.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are three superstars in the game last night. Boston's 1. Outdueled Washington's 2, and Jason Tatum leads Boston to the win. So the Celtics are the 7th seed. They will take on the Brooklyn Nets. How about that for a first-round matchup?
It's kind of sexy.
It is.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, the Nets, they're in no danger when they're healthy. I mean, so unless somebody gets hurt, I know that's a good matchup, but they're in no danger.
Unless somebody gets hurt. Well, one of the big three has seemingly been hurt.
I know, all the time. So I get it.
Every game this year.
And, you know, even if one of them does hurt, then you're talking about, and Nets will probably still be favored, but then you're talking about a competitive series.
Yeah, dude, you could take away two of the big three for the Nets, and I still think I'd pick them to beat the Celtics.
Yeah, because you forget they're actually pretty deep.
They're pretty deep.
Even without the trio, the superstar trio, they're pretty deep.
And they lost LaMarcus Aldridge, too. Remember, they should have had him, but he had the irregular heartbeat issue that forced him to retire.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got dudes like Blake Griffin coming off the bench. They're loaded. And I don't think that's going to be too tough for Brooklyn, but it is sexy. I mean, Boston, it's the brand. It's the Celtics.
Yeah, I like that.
We've been waiting for them to turn it on this year. It hasn't quite happened. They got their win in the play-in, but I think their stay in the playoffs will be a short one.
We'll see, though. I mean, if I don't know. Celtics can pull a couple of upsets.
Yeah.
You know, they can make it,
it'd be a win.
Series.
It'd be a win if they took this to six.
The defense of the Nets is atrocious. Like, I'm talking about all-time bad. Like, well, it's one of the worst defenses. If they make it to the finals, which everybody is predicting, and I predict that too, they're going to be the worst defense, I believe, statistically, to ever make it to the finals.
They'll be fine.
Exactly. They'll Nobody cares.
And they're going to start trying on defense, too.
You think now they'll actually put in some effort on D? I don't think so. I don't think that's their recipe. Well, I think they know they literally can outscore anybody anytime. And you can't defend all of those weapons. It's impossible.
When I say
it's
they're going to start trying on defense, I don't mean it in the first round.
You mean like put a hand up?
Yeah, they'll do that. When they get to the conference finals, they might start putting hands up. They might start boxing out a little bit. But,
yeah,
I think they could coast for a while by just doing what they do on offense. That roster is ridiculous.
Yeah,
so those were the games last night. You've got Washington and Indiana fighting for the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference. That play-in game will be tomorrow night. But the two games tonight of utmost importance around these parts.
Mm-hmm.
Spurs-Grizzlies coming up at 6:30 on ESPN.
Spurs fans a little nervous?
They should be.
I think they're a little nervous.
Like, I don't know what the expectations are for the Spurs at this point, right? Like,
the fans are realistic. They know.
Yeah. If you win this game, then you play the loser of the Lakers and Golden State. You're probably losing that game. If you somehow win that game, well, then you got to deal with the Utah Jazz, and you're not winning that series.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even the most diehard of Spurs fans out there, I think they realize what this team is. No,
yeah.
Derek White. And you just really only have one go-to reliable scorer.
That's DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah. So I just... Look, this could be a fun game tonight, Spurs-Memphis. The two teams, though, trending in the opposite direction, Rod. San Antonio went 2-10 to close out its regular season. Meanwhile, Memphis won five of their final six games. Their only loss was to Golden State, in a game which Steph Curry put on a show, ended up with 50 and made, I think, 400 threes. Don't check my math on that. I don't think it checks out. But Memphis 2-1 against the Spurs this year. They didn't have any problem scoring against San Antonio. The Grizzlies have the best player on the floor tonight with Ja Morant. Memphis, a 4-point favorite, Rod. I mean, the Spurs have the ultimate equalizer. They've got the best postseason coach in modern NBA history.
And they got a little bit more experience.
And they do have a lot more experience as a team, right? Memphis has not spent a lot of time. I mean, this core of Memphis Grizzlies has not spent a lot of time in the postseason. So you've got those two things working for the Spurs. How do you like their chances at the FedEx Forum tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think Pop and the experience that they have, that can be something that can be advantageous to the Spurs, but you start looking at the matchup. I mean, Memphis defense is one of the best defenses in the NBA, seventh in the NBA, led the NBA in steals, which would also lead to a ton of fast break points. Also, they led the NBA in fast break points, and they were third in points off turnovers. That's going to be the key to me. Can the Spurs take care of the basketball? Can they limit the amount of turnovers? That's what Memphis feeds on. That's what that defense feeds on. It's a big part of what they do really well. And can they contain Valanciunas? I mean, he's been really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's been, he's got 48 double-doubles, third most in the NBA behind Jokic and Russell Westbrook, I believe. So,
not bad.
He's been really good. His career highs in this year in points and rebounds. So those are the two big factors to me. Can the Spurs take care of the basketball? Can they figure out a way to neutralize Valanciunas? If they can do that, they got a shot.
Yeah, Jonas Valanciunas, a member of the Jonas Brothers, I believe. Really, really talented. The fact
he's
that
the tallest
guy,
one, huh?
Yeah, can play basketball and sing like that. It's unreal what he does. He is the one guy on the Grizz with postseason experience, right? I mean, he was on that Raptors championship.
Him and Kyle Anderson
a couple of years ago. Yeah, yeah, Kyle Anderson from his time in San Antonio.
Yeah.
Slow-mo has a little bit of postseason experience.
Slow-mo.
It's a great nickname.
It's a terrible nickname.
No, it's a great nickname.
No, because it's kind of an insult.
Yeah, but I don't think it's meant to be derogatory. Like
he still gets it done, but you're saying it.
He plays the game in slow motion.
Like he's a sloth or something.
Yeah, he kind of looks like a sloth out there, but he makes it work. It's not the most fun player to watch, but he finds a way to get it done, no doubt. Yeah, you know, the Spurs and the Grizzlies, you're talking about the Grizzlies there. You're also kind of talking about the Spurs. Like, they play similar styles. Neither team shoots a ton of threes, which is rare in today's NBA. Both teams share the ball well, and neither team fouls a lot nor turns the ball over a lot. Like, they're two well-coached teams. And Taylor Jenkins, who's the coach of Memphis, he's not a direct Pop disciple, but he is kind of through the transitive property part of the Pop coaching tree.
Okay, no, I know these people because Mike Leach has got a lot of these. They're basically they basically are admirers of the coaching tree, of Pop's style and coaching tree, but they didn't directly descend from it.
Right.
Yeah, but so, they admire it from afar.
And Jenkins is part of the Mike Budenholzer coaching tree, and Coach Bud was part of the Pop coaching tree. So, yeah, transitive property there. So, yeah, I think you could see that Taylor Jenkins is trying to kind of mimic some of the things that Greg Popovich's teams have done over the years. So, I'm going to pick Memphis in this game.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Spurs fans, because most of my picks on this show are god-awful, so I'm giving you a chance by picking the Grizz. Patty Mills needs to break out of his slump. He's been god-awful lately. And if he shoots the way he's been shooting, then the Spurs have no chance. They need a big game from DeRozan, obviously, but they need some of the other guys to step up. I think Memphis has more depth, so I'm going to pick the Grizz in that one. But what about the nightcap, Rod B?
Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be so sexy. I know. I'm actually get really giddy about this game.
Yeah.
LeBron versus Steph. Of course, we're used to seeing it in a finals. They met in four straight finals. But the Lakers versus the Warriors. I think I'm picking the Lakers. But I would not be surprised if Steph just has one of those lights out game where he goes into Category 5 supernova status. If that happens, all bets are off. And he's done that a few times this year. That's why he's leading the NBA in points per game. He's actually the oldest NBA player to win the scoring title at 33 since MJ did it, when MJ did it at 34.
Wow.
So old man usually don't go off the way Steph's going off this year. Even LeBron says he's the MVP, which I think is kind of LeBron taking a shot. I think basically that's LeBron's motive in calling Steph the MVP is, if I beat him, I beat the MVP.
Mm.
And if I lost to him, well, I mean, that guy's the MVP.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. He's been great this year. He's the best player. I told you guys he was the MVP.
Right. Yeah, it makes his road
it does
to the postseason.
Either tougher or, hey, man, I can explain it away. He's the best player in the league right now.
It's a classic.
Which he's not, actually. Which he's not.
When Steph Curry's on, I think he's better than anyone on either team. And I'm saying that with LeBron and Anthony Davis being on the LA Lakers. I mean, if Steph Curry is Category 5 nuclear supernova, like you just called him.
It's a video game.
I don't know if there's anybody better in the world.
It's a video game. You can't stop it.
That guy is absolutely ridiculous, and he's been on a tear as of late. The Warriors are red hot. They've won 6 in a row, 15-5 in their last 20 games. Like, they're gelling at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And if they had Klay Thompson, look, we knew going into the season this was not a championship-caliber Golden State Warriors team. I mean, once Klay Thompson got hurt,
yeah,
it kind of closed the book on that.
Agreed.
But they're playing their best basketball at the right time. And the Lakers are healthy again, which is good. Like, LeBron and AD are going to play tonight.
He's got that ankle, though, right?
They're not 100%.
Yeah, LeBron's got that tweaked ankle, man.
And the Lakers just, they haven't really all been together at all over the last 2 or 3 months. So while one team seemingly has its best chemistry it's had all year, the Lakers are trying to get that chemistry back.
Yeah.
I'm picking the Lakers, too, but man, it's a 7-point line. The Cousins going to be going Golden State plus 7. I think this game is closer than that. Yeah, I'm surprised that the line is that big. But the Warriors don't have anybody to match up with Anthony Davis or Andre Drummond. Like, that's where the Lakers have the advantage, size. Like, Draymond Green's going to, he's one of the best defenders in the league, but he can't guard both of those guys. And also, he's like 6'6", 6'7", going up against 2 7-footers that the Lakers have.
Who the Lakers throw at Steph? Who are the guys they keep throwing to defend Steph? I mean, I know nobody's going to do it effectively. Back in the day, they threw LeBron at him in the fourth quarter, but who they throw at him now?
You know, KCP on him.
And so they really don't have anybody that can even try to neutral. Well, no, but usually you have a guy you consider a stopper. Like, all right, now we got a guy. We got a guy that's what he does. He's a guy that defends the perimeter really well. No, nobody's going to stop an all-time great Hall of Fame player like Steph, but he's not going to embarrass himself out there.
Yeah.
He's going to at least agitate Steph a little bit. They got anybody that can agitate him?
Wes Matthews.
Oh, man. No, they don't then.
Not really.
Okay.
That's, not really.
Yeah, see, then you're right. All those bets are off. Even the Anthony Davis factor doesn't matter if Steph goes off. And like you said, he doesn't have to go off for the entire game. All he needs to do is get hot for like a 4-minute period.
Well, yeah, he'll score 30 points in 4 minutes.
Yeah, so he gets supernova. It's like, oh, dude, he goes off and score those 20-something points in a 3-minute stretch, and you're like, well, we just lost a game in 3-4 minute span.
You can't let that guy beat you.
Yeah.
Obviously, easier said than done. But, dude, if it looks like Steph is hot, if I'm Frank
Time
Vogel,
out.
Timeout. Double. Yeah. Immediately.
We time it out.
As soon as he catches the ball, I'm doubling him.
He hits two in a row, timeout. Mm-hmm. Like, so, as soon as he hits two in a row, I might call a timeout right there. Like, nah, we timeout. So, or ridiculous, like, near the logo three-pointer, timeout.
Dude, if he hits like three or four in a row, I'm pulling a Mike Tomlin. Remember what he did on the sideline against Jacoby Jones of Baltimore on the punt return where he, like, kind of walked onto the field or, like, leaned his body onto the field to try to trip him?
Yeah, he did.
I'm doing that, dude.
That was so shady. Yeah. I forgot about that shady move.
I'm doing it if I'm Frank Vogel. I'm not letting Steph Curry beat me, man.
I agree, man.
Pulling out all the stops.
Whatever it takes.
So that's the night game. 9 o'clock, unfortunately. It's late for us here.
I'm going to stay up for that one. Yeah, I think America will stay up for that one.
It's worth watching. Yeah. So Spurs need a win to keep their playoff hopes alive. If they do win, they will take on the loser of the Warriors and Lakers. That game would be Friday. A loss for the Spurs means they are out in 2021.
One and done.
There's some NBA talk for you here on the Triple Option with RBKD. When we come back, it'll be time for Off the Record. This might be the worst way to die ever.
DD Mega Doodoo. I'm sorry, Mangoodoo.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get the rain man comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East. Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. F***ing thing sucks.
Off the Record time here on the Triple Option with RBKD. We've got Rod Babers, we've got BK, most importantly, we've got you. And coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get back into some Longhorn football conversation. Paul Feinbaum of the SEC Network, everyone's favorite college football analyst, had some interesting comments about Oklahoma. So we'll let you hear from Paul Feinbaum and give our thoughts on what he had to say about the Sooners. But right now, and off the record, Rod B., I think we found the worst way to die.
Oh, man. That's a lot of bad ways to die.
This one.
It's a lot of them.
Has to be near the top, if not right at the very, very top. How about death by ass?
Well, I think some people would like to die that way.
Well, wait till I explain the story. Okay.
So I think Matthew McConaughey's father died like that.
Mm. Yeah, not getting ass.
Oh,
well,
okay.
How about death by a 224-pound Russian woman sitting on your head and strangling you to death?
Oh!
Because you couldn't breathe.
Did she do this?
She didn't strangle him with her arms. She strangled him with her...
Cheeks.
That's assault,
what?
Brother.
Yeah, that is assault, brother.
That's not funny. Hold up. Were they trying to do something else? Was this intentional or unintentional?
No, they were actually disputing. They were quarreling.
Oh.
There was alcohol involved, and I guess her way of punishing him...
Is to sit on him. This is big brothers do this to, like, the little brothers and stuff, right?
This is a married couple here.
Wow.
And she sat on this dude's head.
On his head?
And apparently he was begging for forgiveness, but she refused to let him go.
And she sat on him until he died?
Until he died. Yep.
So she suffocated him with her buttocks.
That's exactly what happened. He died from asphyxia from blocking the respiratory system. As his face was wedged into the mattress. So he was on a bed.
Wow.
So he's getting it from the mattress, and she's sitting on him, preventing him from being able to breathe.
Suffocated by buttocks.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's assassination right there, Rod.
I think you just brought this story up because you wanted the one-liners.
Oh, there's plenty of them.
And all the puns.
You know what they say, crack kills, right?
Yes.
Oh,
how
man.
Many? I feel like we're going to be David Letterman's top 10 here. We might as well just have the music and just count them off. I think you're at 5 now so far.
I have described women as having a killer ass.
Yes.
Sometimes I've heard someone say she's got an ass to die for.
Yeah, I've heard that. That's 7.
Oh, man, I'll think of it.
You need three more. You can make a top 10. It's pretty good.
We could almost go with your mama jokes. Like, your mama's so fat, when she sits around the house, she sits around the house.
Yeah, Bucky just did the your mama jokes for Mother's Day. There you go.
For Mother's Day.
Wow.
So, yeah, so his daughter.
They have kids.
I don't know if they had kids together.
Okay. But
they're currently married.
Okay.
It says his daughter, so I don't know if that
still
means
awful,
their daughter
though.
Together.
Still awful.
She ran in. She saw him pinned face down on the bed.
The daughter saw this?
And she ran to seek help from neighbors. And a neighbor came through.
Wow.
And she didn't do anything.
What?
She just was thinking, all right, they're in the middle of a domestic dispute. They'll figure it out. It's going to be all
right. It's not my business.
It's not my business. So she up and left.
So the daughter, you said there was a daughter, right? The
daughter.
She witnessed.
Went and got the neighbor.
So she witnessed the death of her father, basically.
It doesn't say if she was there when he actually, like, that stopped breathing.
Expired, but she saw it happening.
And she went and got help, and the neighbor.
Man, that's.
How bad must the neighbor feel?
Yeah, that's horrible, actually. That tells the story from comedic to tragic. It was tragic anyway. I mean, you died by buttocks.
Oh, it was awesome. That ain't tragic. That's awesome.
Hated by buttocks is bad, but yeah, the daughter being that. Man, that's terrible, though, that this. So how long did she sit? They say how long she sat on him for? She had to sit on him for, to suffocate someone with your butt. I'm assuming that took at least 5 minutes. The daughter came back in and out of the room.
Yeah, it was at least.
So we're talking about at least 5 minutes that she sat on this man's
face. We don't have an exact
face.
Time, but that's a fair assumption right there.
Wow.
I mean, if we're going psych or monk and we're trying to do some detective work.
How much does she weigh?
224.
And he weighs how much? Do we know his weight?
No.
But he's obviously lighter than
her. He's lighter than her.
Cause she's
not like me light.
Well, because he couldn't even move. When she sat on him, he couldn't move her. Think about how big does a woman have to be if she sat on your face like that for you not to be able to move her? She had to be
different.
You not to be able
I want to move
free
her?
Yourself.
Oh, okay.
Right? 300 pounds.
Wait,
she's like a 300-pound woman. Because if a woman's 250 pounds, I can move her.
I could move a 250-pound woman.
You don't think you could?
No, I don't think I could.
That was sitting on you?
No.
I could. I'd move her.
Like, I can't bench 250. Is that what it would require? Like, to use my chest to get her up
off me? Because she's dead. I'm assuming she was dead weight. You know how somebody dead weights on you? Like, she dead weighted on his face.
Mm.
Like, that's hardcore, man. Like, that's 220-some pounds of dead weight on him? That's bad, man.
That is absolutely
brutal. Yep. That is crazy.
And her name is Tatiana O. We don't get a last name, but she said she merely wanted to calm her husband down. The couple had been drinking a little bit, and she thought a good method to calm her husband down and stop the domestic dispute
to sit on his
was
face.
By sitting on him. And yes, she basically strangled her husband to death with her buttocks after a night's worth of drinking.
Suffocation. My buttock, I think, is what the medical examiner is going to have to do.
Yeah, so she was originally charged.
Oh, that's murder.
Of causing death by negligence.
Oh, no. No, but, that's murder.
Yeah, now they are calling for a new murder charge.
Oh, no, that's not negligence. You sat down and you put all your dead weight on him for, I said, more than 5 minutes. Yeah, that's murder. Sorry, that's murder one. That's murder one. You did it on purpose. You knew what you were doing. I'm sure at one point he said help or something. The daughter had to come in and out. Murder one. And when you go to jail, and everybody up there is bragging about how they went to jail. Oh yeah, I killed somebody with my bare hands. Oh, I was a narcotics dealer, worldwide, international drug supply. Oh, I did this. I trafficked this. You gonna say, oh, I killed my husband with my butt,
with my ass.
Yeah.
And not the way you're thinking.
And not the
not
way
the
you're
cool
thinking.
Way.
I don't know if that gets you street cred. I don't know if that takes away from your street cred in jail. I don't know. But she deserves to go to jail.
Yeah, dead
go
ass.
To jail.
She deserves to go to jail.
Man.
What is that, 9 for me? Weapons of ass destruction. Can that be number 10?
That might have been your best one.
Come on, baby. Get the laugh track in there.
That was good. Well done. I think you got to 10, too. Well done.
That. What a hilariously tragic story.
It is hilariously. I feel bad for laughing at that story because somebody did die.
No, I don't.
It's sad.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
224-pound Russian woman sat on her husband and basically strangled him to death because he couldn't breathe.
And I love a woman with a bootylicious badonkadonk, but
I don't think you need that.
It's always there's always a downside to it.
I
guess
you literally need an ass to die for. That feels like.
And something tells me his friends are gonna say that was his favorite part.
Yeah, he went out doing what he loved.
That's what he loved. He's always say she had a great behind.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's off the record.
There you go.
On the triple option with RBKD. We'll take your thoughts, 337-3776. When we come back, we'll get back into sports. We'll talk Texas football. Paul Feinbaum, some interesting comments about Texas's biggest rival. Plus, the Longhorns have reportedly offered a transfer player on defense. We'll tell you about him next.